But can I pray for Laurette as she brings the word for us this morning? Father, we just thank you, Lord, as you anoint Laurette just to teach us and instruct us your word. Father, we receive it by faith. We thank you, Lord, it will be life-changing. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will minister through her and that your anointing will rest upon her in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning I want to talk about something that as I was praying, God showed me a picture, and I'll explain the picture to you a little bit later. And it's about entering God's promises. So can I maybe see who of you is holding on to a promise that you received from God, but it has not come to pass yet? Right. So, you know, often we have promises that we carry in our heart. And as time goes on, we sort of lose hope that we will ever see that promise come to pass. So I want to just talk about hope, faith, and love in our waiting for God's promises and to enter into His promises. So I just want to start by what is a promise. So I just went and I said, okay, let's start with what is a promise. And I went to Webster's Dictionary, and it said that a promise is a declaration, written or verbal, made by one person to another, which binds the person who makes it, either in honor, conscience, or law, to do or forbear a certain act specified. That's a long one. Or it is a declaration which gives to the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance or forbearance of the act. So, you know, when somebody makes a promise to you, you sort of feel, but you've promised, you've given me your word. I have a right now to expect that promise to be fulfilled. And that is what a promise is, right? So a promise is not just it might be. When we receive a promise from somebody, we take it seriously. We take it as that's your word, and I want to take you by, and I'm going to hold you by your word when somebody promises something. Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 24. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So I want to just go somewhere. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. So when God gives us a promise, that promise becomes a hope. And I'll talk about hope just now. But that's my hope. That is what I hold onto. And then it says, hold fast the confession of your hope. So when I trust God for a promise, it is something that I profess, that I confess. So it's something that I proclaim as I stand in faith for that promise. Okay, so it says, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Okay, so in James talks about a ship that is tossed to and fro if it's not anchored. And in Hebrews it talks about that Christ is the anchor of our hope. So if you don't have an anchor, if you don't have this hope, you become like a ship that is tossed to and fro in the ocean and in the seas. But it says, hold on to this confession of your hope without wavering. Don't stop. Don't let it go. Hold on to this. For he who promised is faithful. But it also says in, I think it is in Ecclesiastics, or if it's in Job, never mind, don't take me on my quote here. But it says that God is not a God that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not like us, that when he makes a promise, he will break the promise. He is not like man. God is faithful to his promises, and he will fulfill what he has promised. And then it says further, and it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, if we have this promise and we are on our own, it is easily to not be able to hold on without wavering. We can maybe be become tired in our waiting for this promise. But if we are together, if we are with one another, we can stir up one another, and that will result in love and good works. And I will get there a little bit later, because this is the fruit of a hope that has been fulfilled. Okay, so you still with me? So 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, for all the promises of God, all the promises, do you see the all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Because if God fulfills a promise that he has given to you, he is the one that should get the glory. So, and then one more. It says Proverbs 13 verse 12. And this is the thing that we often struggle with. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you are hoping for something and you are hoping and hoping and hoping and nothing comes to pass, it tends to make the heart sick. It starts to steal your joy. It starts to bring a despair, a hopelessness, and maybe even depression because of an unfulfilled expectation that's not being met. But when a desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. And this is our testimony. When we stand with the promise of God and we take that promise and the promise is fulfilled, that becomes a tree of life because we've got a testimony. And as we tell our testimony, other people stirs faith. It also stirs our own faith and our own heart. So promises that are fulfilled brings joy, and it brings life, not just to us, but also to people around us. So when God's promises is true, it is not only just good for us, it's good for those around us. So why is it that we have promises that we believe God has given us and it's not been fulfilled? Or it's not been fulfilled yet. Maybe I must rather put it like that. Why is it that these promises tarry? And I've got four things that I just want to touch on this morning. So the first one is, we did not hear from God. Often we grab something, we assume it's God because it's maybe an opportunity that came our way, or it just makes sense. And we grab it and we assume this is a promise from God. And we did not ask him. We did not hear from him. And we did not receive from him. So the first thing is, we did not hear from God. So that's the one reason why a promise could not be fulfilled. The second one is, our timing is wrong. So sometimes God gives a promise, but we wait and we wait. And the reason why we wait is because there's a process. Okay? And we think, we make assumptions that the promise that God has given us is for now. Right? So our timing is wrong. The third one is, fear is holding back. So fear is the thing that holds us back. God actually has given us the promise. The promise is there, but we can just not take that step of faith to actually inherit the promise and take the promise. So that's the third one. And then the fourth one is one that we often forget about. It is pride. Pride can keep the promise from coming because I've made the promise about me. And when God promises, it's never about me. Okay, so I'm going to look at those four things in a moment. But I first want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 to 13. That's at the end of this beautiful chapter of love that gives the definition of love. And this is right at the bottom of it. And it says this: what we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Okay, so just to put some context to that, If you look in a mirror, you do not see a dim image. But in the Bible times, a mirror was not a mirror, like you know a mirror. Okay, so in those times, a mirror was a piece of copper that was polished really well. But it was never a clear image if you looked in that mirror. All right, so what we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. So I want you to notice the word now and then. So now it's like a dim image. Then we shall see face to face. So if you look at somebody face to face, the image is clear. You can clearly see. Right. What I know now is only in partial. Then it will be complete. So again, I've got the now. And I've got the then. So it says, what I know now is only in partial. The reason for that is I can't see and know everything, and I can't see and know the future. What I see is only partial. It's my circumstances, what I am aware of now. That's the only thing I can see. But then it will be complete. So it's like Webers always says, hindsight is 20/20. So once you're through a trial, once you're on the other side and you look back, you're like, oh, okay, now I see. Okay? So the then. It says, then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Now I can tell you that God knows everything about you. So, and then it says, meanwhile. Right. Now that meanwhile, if I say now, then, what's in between is meanwhile. Okay, so to go from the now to the then, it says, meanwhile, these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So that made me think, I'm like, okay, faith, hope, and love. Why faith, hope, and love? What does faith, hope, and love do between the now and the then? And that's what I want to show you this morning. And I'm trying to go fast because I know my time is little. But so number one, I said that you did it, maybe you did not hear from God. So let's talk about that. So first thing, when I hear from God, if I truly hear from God, that gives me hope. Isaiah 30 verse 21 said, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. God wants to direct your steps. He does not want you to be in a place where you're like, I don't know what to do. Okay? And sometimes the only difference between knowing what to do and knowing what not to do is to hear God and to receive that hope, that promise. So, step number one, how do I hear from God? Is I ask Him. So start with spending time with God. And you're probably not going to hear Him if you spend 10 minutes with Him. Okay? Make time, set time out. If it's a really important thing that you are trying to hear from God, invest the time, spend time with God, go and sit with Him, speak to Him, ask Him, and don't settle for vagueness. So if you ask God and you sense God is saying yes, and you need more information, ask for more. Okay? He says in John 10, he says, I'm the good shepherd and my sheep knows my voice. Okay. The more time you spend with God, the easier it will become to start to recognize His voice. In the beginning, you don't know. You don't know, is this me? Is it the devil or is it Jesus speaking? I don't know. I've got this thought, I've got this idea, and I don't know where did it come from. Okay? That's normal. But the more time you spend with God, the more in tune you become to hear Him. You have to believe that God wants to speak to you. Some of us go into a place where we want to speak to God and spend time with Him, but we actually don't expect Him to speak to us. Okay? And we do all the talking. So we talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Amen. And then we leave and it's like, God didn't speak to me. Okay? You have to have a time where you get quiet. And then this is my little piece of advice to you. It's write down. So often, if I'm in my quiet time and I'm asking God things and I'm seeking His face, I sit with a pen and paper and I start and I write my question. Lord, what do you want to say to me this morning? And I write it down. And then I wait. I just wait. And then whatever comes to mind, I write it down. And the reason why I do that is because I'm a thinker and I'm an analyst, so I try to analyze everything and then I overanalyze and then I think, no, it's not God. So it's easier for me to just write. I just write it down. And then afterwards, when I read it, then things start to become clear. Instead of just discarding things, just write down whatever you sense God is saying to you. Just write it down, all right? Then if you sometimes God speaks through just giving you a sense in your heart, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, just write it down. Sometimes He speaks in images or pictures. I'm a visual person, so for me, God likes to give me a picture and then relate that to whatever the question was or what He's trying to tell me. And sometimes He speaks through scripture, so you'll remember a scripture or be prompted to go to a scripture, and then He'll speak to you through scripture. And maybe you're one of the very few lucky people that can actually audibly hear God's voice. There's not many who has that blessing. But whatever God, however God wants to speak to you, the one thing that you do want is you want a scripture to confirm, because that's going to anchor you if you've got a scripture to add to the word, the picture, the sense that you had. So once you've received, it's written that down, say, God, please confirm this through scripture. And if it's not today, maybe it's tomorrow, it doesn't matter. Somewhere, God will drop into your heart a scripture that will actually confirm it. All right, so get a scripture. And then also very important, get a spiritual mentor to pray with you, especially if it's a big decision or a big promise or something that's really heavy on your heart. Don't do this on your own. That scripture said we stir one another. We stir one another in love and to do good work. So get them to pray with you. And don't tell them what you heard. Or just say, can you pray? I'm trying to hear God about my work or about a relationship or whatever the case might be. And tell me what you hear God saying. Okay. And then that should confirm what you have heard. Because God is not confused. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, "In the counsel of many is wisdom." So you want to get counsel from people that you trust can hear from God. And then you might ask, what about a sign or a sense of peace or open doors? Those are the three things you have to be careful of. Open doors, you can just say, God has opened this door. That's how I know it's God. And then when you get there, suddenly the door's closed. Then you're confused because then you don't know. Is it God closing it? Is it Satan closing it? Who's closing the door? And remember, Satan can also open doors. So open doors are a very dangerous one to go by. Matthew 12:39 says, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign." So I don't like to ask for a sign. Because the problem with a sign is you can read into a sign whatever you want to, actually. You know, you can say, Lord, give me a sign. Should I do this? And then you walk outside and you see an olive branch or an olive tree. And then that's the sign, but actually it's just an olive tree. Okay, so be careful of signs. And peace, we often have peace when we want to do something. It's incredible. If we don't want to do it, then we have to wrestle it out with God. So peace, Peace will come when God has spoken to you and when he's turned your heart towards him, yes. But sometimes we confuse peace for this is what I want. When the peace disappears, then you're also confused. Right, so I hope that just helps. That's just the sideline, just to help you to know how to hear God. So when I know I've heard God, like I know, I've confirmed it with scripture, he's spoken to me, I've had people confirming it, that becomes a strong anchor. That becomes a firm hope that I can hold on to. Right. And then even when things looks like they're going wrong, I know God has spoken. This is my promise, and I'm holding on to it. All right. So the second one is to wait on God, and we're really bad with this. Because we are instant generation, we want stuff to be fast and quickly, and we want it the way we want it, and we want it now. But what we then do is we often rush into things and we make it happen. So God said that this is my promise, I will live in Joburg, and therefore I shall now buy a ticket and go there, okay? But I'm not waiting on God's timing. So hope is a joyful and confident expectation. The fact that I'm expecting for something means that there's a time of waiting, right? So I'm joyful and confident expecting and waiting in that time. God's time is not our time. So when we wait on God, we allow him to fulfill his promises. When you try to make it happen, you have to sustain it. And that's when we become tired. Because that's tiring to make your promises come to pass on its own. I always think of Daniel and his friends. You know, we often say, but it's too late. God should have come through by now. The promise must have been fulfilled by now. It is too late if it doesn't happen now. And then, you know, God once spoke to me and he said, you know, with Daniel and his friends, when his friends were thrown into the fiery furnace, at which point do you think they should have decided that it is too late? And we all would have thought it's over the moment they arrested us. Then it's too late. Or maybe you still have the faith to go right to the oven. But hey, when they chuck you in that fire, I think we all would have said, okay, this is it. It's too late now. Okay. God is never too late. I had a conversation with Yolandi in the week, and I want to just quickly read what she said to me in their journey. They had a house that they had to wait for, and they were literally moving out of the one house and still didn't have another house to move into. So the stuff was loading onto the truck, and they're like, we have nowhere to go. And on number 99, before the truck had to leave, they said, we've got you a place, you can go. And then she said this, she says that God dropped these words into her heart. When you understand that God is never late, you wait differently. Isn't that beautiful? If you understand that God is never late, you wait differently. So, right, so you can hold on to that one. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says, lean on, trust in, and be obedient in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insights or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight your paths. Sorry, I'm not going to read Isaiah 40, verse 31. It's amazing. Go read it at home. But I'm trying to save a little bit of time here. The third one is to step out in faith. And this is the image that I saw. So I want to explain to you. I've tried to ask AI to generate me a picture, but it didn't come out exactly the way I was hoping. But the picture that I saw was basically us as a church standing on one side of a deep chasm, right? Does I? And it goes as far as the eye can see to both sides. And it's too far and wide to cross. And the people on the other side, it is beautiful and it's green, and that's our promised land. That's the promises that God gave to us as a church. But we're on this side of the chasm. And as we stand, people started to lose hope. They became tired of waiting, so they turned back and they want to leave. And I just had a sense that God said, but that chasm is not real, it's an illusion. And as the people started to step out in faith, the chasm actually disappeared and they walked straight into the promised land. And often we stand on this side and with our own promise and like, how are we ever going to get to the place, the promises that God has for us? We've got so many beautiful promises for this congregation of a river of life that goes out into the community. We've got that the promise of the big tree. And I wish I had more time to go into that. But we stand on this side, and the thing that keeps us from crossing is fear. Because fear is false evidence appearing real. It's an illusion. And that's the strategy that the enemy uses to keep you from the promise. So maybe even in your own life, you know it's a promise from God. You know that the time is now. It's been confirmed, but you just don't have the courage to actually take it. So maybe it's been prophesied over your life that you will flow in prophetic anointing, but you just don't have the courage to actually go to somebody and trust God for a prophetic word. And that's fear. That's fear holding you back. Right. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for and to be certain of the things that we cannot see. I'm going to just skip over a few things. And the fourth one is to stay humble. In your walk, in this promise, we walk in love. Because when we love, we walk in love, we do whatever we do because we love God. So when God gives us a promise, it's never about you. It's always about God and His purposes and His plans and His agenda. And I do it because I love God and I want to do His will for my life. So when your promise becomes about your blessing, your success, your comfort, then you know your motive is not right yet. And then it's going to delay the process because God wants you first to get to the point where you're going to say, this is not about me. This is about God. And that sometimes is a journey that delays stuff because we sometimes hard to learn these things. So give your promise to God and say, Lord, you make it happen in your time and for your glory. And then I'm in it. And then we do it. It's always about reaching people because God's love is in you. So when you have a promise, always keep in mind, what is it that God wants to achieve through this promise? You won't always have the answer, but just keep that in the back of your mind. What is God's agenda here? John 3:30 says, He must increase, but I must decrease. He must grow more prominent, and I must grow less so. And unless that process is completed, you may be going to wait a little bit for that promise. Okay, I'm going to close with this. The scripture says these three things remain. Hope, faith, and love. Hope is a joyful and confident expectation. I will get the hope when I hear God's voice, when I know it is God that has spoken. Faith is the conviction and belief respecting man's relation to God and divine things. That's when I know because God has said it, His promises is true. And therefore I can step out in that through faith. And then love, is a true affection for God and man. I need to walk in that love, growing out of God's love for and in us. And if I can walk in that, the promises that God has for me will bear the fruit that it should bear at the end. So for those of you who have promises or standing on promises, and maybe you've identified that there's some of these steps that you are missing in your life, I'm not gonna drag this out, but won't you just stand with me? You can all just stand. And then I just want to pray for you in your journey of these promises. Okay, so while everybody's standing, if this is you and you say, I just want to bring my promises back to God. I want to bring it back to God. I want to stand in faith, hope, faith, and love until this promise is fulfilled. If that is you, you can maybe just quickly raise your hand, and then I just want to pray for you. So, Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your promises, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word is full of promises, that your Holy Spirit has given us promises, that we've received promises from you, Lord, and we know that you are faithful to bring those promises to pass. We thank you, Lord, that you, in you, the promises are yes and amen. So, Father, we bring our promises back to you. And even as a congregation, we bring the promises that you've spoken over this congregation. We bring it back to you, Lord. And we say, may you be glorified through these promises. Lord, we want to make this promise about you. It's not about us. It is about you and the purposes and the plans that you have through these promises. So we just want to surrender it back to you. Lord, give us the patience to wait, to hear your voice, and to just be in a joyful expectation for this hope that you have given us. Lord, and I thank you that if we get to the place where you present these opportunities to us, Lord, that they will give us the courage to step out in faith and to take the promise, to move forward in your promise, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the one, you are the good shepherd that leads us. Lord, help us to hear your voice clearly. Help us to silence all the other voices that so easily come and try and distort our hearing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good God that leads us. And we thank you that in full and joyful expectations, we are waiting for these promises to become testimonies in this house, Lord. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.